Good morning. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it is my pleasure to welcome you here today to this morning's program. Before we get started, I have a few announcements to make, as always. First of all, for those of you who are interested in the issue of hydrofracking, which we have discussed here at the roundtable, I think it was about a year ago, it still is a live issue. And there is a public forum on Saturday, April 9th at 1 o'clock at OCC. And if you would like more information, Will Mathis is here. He has some flyers that he can give you. But again, that's on Saturday at 1 at OCC. The next 3 weeks, we have 3 weeks left to our season. And you know that next week we'll be talking with folks from Vera House about some important issues and their White Ribbon campaign. The following week, Dr. Ruben Coward of the Syracuse Community Health Center will be talking to us about healthcare issues and, in particular, what community health centers do. I think, at least in my tenure, this is the first time we've had Dr. Coward here. So he's a busy man. Be here, because who knows when you'll get a chance to hear from him again, at least at the roundtable. And then we end the month with Mayor Miner, who will be talking to us about the budget that she'll be announcing tomorrow, I believe, as well as other things. So come prepared with your questions for the mayor at the end of the month. So that's the rest of our season. I also want to remind you that it is time for nominations for the Volunteer of the Year Award for TMR. So if you have a nomination, you can email it to us, send it to us, or hand it to me next Thursday morning, but that's the deadline. And then we will make the presentations on the presentation on the 28th. Right, Colleen? All right. Thank you very much. Well, this morning it is my pleasure to welcome a panel from the Visions for Change program. I was honored to be on the Board of Visions for Change in the first year of the board's advisory board's existence, so I know a little bit about it. I know how important it is. And I have asked Bob Herz, our member, who is the chair of the Visions Coalition, to introduce the panel and the program. Thank you, Bob. You might as well use that mic. Yeah, you're all going to have to share that one for today.
Well, first off, good morning. Okay, good morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk just very little about Visions for Change. I'm going to let each person sort of introduce themselves as we go forward, because you have the whole panoply of what we're doing up here, mm-hmm. from the vision, the staff person, the ally, the partner, the mentor, and the client. And it's a really interesting approach to trying to solve a problem that has certainly been with us for my whole lifetime, and I think everybody's lifetime, and that so many people in this room have worked so hard on, and that's alleviating poverty. There can be no question that that might be the most virtuous thing that we can possibly do. It's part of how I got involved in this process and in this effort. The mainstay, the spark plug, the real thrust in some ways behind this whole effort has been Housing Visions. Certainly Ken Craig was known to a lot of us, and our friend and staff person, Rhonda. So let me turn it over to Rhonda. Mm-hmm. We'll do some scene setting. We'll do a little discussion on this. We'll come down and around and come back to my role, really our role in this, which is the guiding coalition. And we're also going to finish with a big invitation to everybody in this room, because so many of you have spent so much time and so much effort and so much talent working on this particular problem. And frankly, we need you all. So, Rhonda?
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I think it would be really a good place for me to start is to give you just a little background of how Visions for Change and the Circles Initiative even came into Syracuse. And it started, as Bob said, with Kenyon Craig, who had a vision, who decided that it was time to, when his pastor came to him and spoke with him and said, we really need some help on the east side to revitalize the east side neighborhood. So he got together with a group of individuals, to make a long story short, and they came up with their own nonprofit called Housing Visions. You may have heard of that, where they have revitalized a lot of the homes on the east side, and now they have moved to the north side and some in the south side also. And it's continuing to get big. Well, Craig also, once he did that, he was able to do that in a way where he was to offer these homes to low-income individuals. And once he did that, now you have to remember, Housing Visions also, they take care of the properties. They so they have an operations crew, they have a constructions crew, they have maintenance crew, so they take care of the whole thing. He also looked one step further and said, now that I have these wonderful individuals able to afford our beautiful homes, what else can we do for our residents? And so he did some searching, and he came upon this national program called Circles. And when he started looking into it, he decided, that's it, that's what I want for my residents. That's what we need to be able to help them become self-sufficient. So that's a little bit of a background. So when he did that, he says, okay, now I got to start another nonprofit, and we're going to call it Visions for Change. So we are under Housing Visions, and we are Visions for Change is the agency that actually oversees and runs the National Circles Initiative. So that's a little bit of a background on that. I don't think I really need to show you. Where are we here? Let me go back. There, statistics, and I don't know if you can see them, and I'm sorry if it doesn't, but they're the statistics here in Onondaga County regarding poverty. They're overwhelming. They are, I guess every time I look at them, I always take a deep breath and say, oh my goodness, right here in our own backyard. And I think this is when we took a look at this, and Craig was Ken was looking at this. This is what he said: we really need to do something, and we really need to reach out and find a program that is going to work. And so, when he did find the Circles program, it is a national program that has proven statistical data that it has been working. So, Visions for Change has contracted with an agency called Move the Mountain to have a pilot program in Onondaga County, and it is called the Circles Initiative. Move the Mountain launched its Circles campaign in 2007 to inspire communities to commit to a new long-term solution that addresses poverty. Circles has been implemented nationally through national organizations such as United Way, United Methodist Churches, Community Action Partnerships, and Catholic Charities, all with positive outcomes. When Move the Mountain developed this national program, they were interested in two levels of results. One were moving families from poverty to economic stability. And the second result was changes would be taking place in the communities to build a bridge so others could move out of poverty. So what's a circle? At the heart of the program, we have what we call our matched circles. And they consist of at least two volunteers who volunteer and become our allies. And they are matched to an individual or family who is actually ready to work towards financial stability and become self-sufficient. The allies will provide these families with friendship, coaching, networking, and help the individuals achieve their self-sufficiency goals. The participants and the participating individuals in this program are known as circle leaders. We call them circle leaders so that they know and they can work towards being the leader of their own destiny, of their own life. They're expected to set goals and to take action steps needed to become economically stable while helping community leaders learn how to help others out of poverty. During the weekly circle meetings, we provide meals and free child care so that the adults can actually focus their attention on self-sufficiency goals, and we take away some of their barriers of so that they can come and not have to worry about who's going to watch their children, I can't pay for child care, where are we going to eat, that type of thing. We take away those so they can really come and work and focus. We also offer their community resources are brought into the program to help the leaders achieve their achieve their achievements that they're working on, their goals. This is one of the important parts, another important part of the Circles program. Each community Circles initiative is led by a guiding coalition. And all the guiding coalitions are, of course, members from our community. And they're comprised of five working teams, as you will see up there on the screen. The coalition also organizes what we call a big view meeting once a month, which is essentially an open house to the community with the goal of illuminating the community about the barriers families face as they become economically stable. And the coalition works together to try to eliminate a lot of these obstacles. So this is a list of, right now, of our wonderful guiding coalition that we have. You may not be able to see all that, but you probably can't read all that. But this is our list. We have 30 individuals on it. I'm really proud of our coalition. Bob is the chair of it. And we have a really good start at working together as a community towards this program. So the circle leaders, the individuals who are in poverty, they begin their journey by taking a 15-week Getting Ahead curriculum. It's called Just Getting By, Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. And it's based on Ruby Payne's framework of understanding poverty. The curriculum will teach the participants to understand and use, right there, the hidden rules of class, and to learn methods to build self-sufficiency through the development of financial, social, and emotional resources. It also empowers them to take leadership roles in addressing the causes of poverty that lie within the community. While circle leaders are working through their curriculum, we're out looking for allies. And when we do, when we have our allies that come on board with us, we put them through a day training of, and probably a lot of you have heard Bridges Out of Poverty. Bridges is designed to educate individuals about the hidden rules of poverty and to train them to address the causes of poverty. This is very important so that when they are matched with their circle leaders, everyone is on the same page, everyone on the same. We're here, so we're working. So when both groups have completed their curriculums, the circle leaders are matched with their allies and they begin their journey together. Additionally, the circle leaders continue their weekly meetings where allies and meet once a month with their circle leader. The circle leaders continue to meet weekly and they meet with other leaders so that they receive that peer support, what we call bonding social capital, as well as support from their allies, which we like to call our bridging social capital. This is what a circle will look like. You will see that you have the circle leaders, you'll see the big view meetings, the coalition, the allies, how the community, the support, the weekly meetings, the guiding coalition, how we all work together towards helping these individuals that are in our participants become self-sufficient. And just to give you a brief overview, this is the national data that has come in so far that's showing what has been happening during this. The data collection began in July of 2008. The data shown here comes from three states, Connecticut, Idaho, and Indiana. It here shows 54% of the circle leaders had obtained a better job, better paying job, shown here by a marked increase in median income. They went from $634 a month to $1,200 a month. It was about an 88% increase. And this also occurred at a time when the economy as a whole was shrinking. So this is really, when you look at it, it's really awesome when you start looking at the data. Over the course of Getting Ahead and 6 months into their circles program, the average circle leader reduced their receipt of public benefits. At the beginning of involvements, the average circle leader was receiving $436 a month in benefits. After completion of the Getting Ahead and 6 months into their circle, the numbers were reduced to $306. This resulted in a $51,000 annual total savings to the community that was involved in the circles. The circle leader's assets went up by 56%. One of the goals of the Circles Initiative is to increase their social capital. That's really important when they're trying to move to self-sufficiency. And we want to decrease the isolation of the family. So one of the questions that we ask the circle leaders as they enter the program is to report the number of friends that you can count on. And the average answer was 4. And after 6 months involvement, the average answer was increased to 9, healthy support system. And I use the word healthy because that's really important that you have the healthy. This is really encouraging. This slide right here just will show that most households will need to earn 200% of the poverty guideline, over $3,000 a month for a family of 3, and have 6 months of savings before they can be considered economically stable. You ask yourself, how many of us are there? They have 3 months even of savings. Like any goal, getting there for our participants is exciting, and every achievement along the way is important to achieving their dream. So this is a really, really exciting program. I just gave you a brief structure outline, and what I would really want you to hear from is from the individuals themselves that have actually been a part of this. So with me today, I have Donna Rohde, who is actually an ally, and I would like to turn it over to her so she can tell you just her experience of being an ally in this program.
Good morning. Yes, I've been an ally since this program first came to Syracuse, with the very first set of circles, even before the rest of the structure here was fully in place. I heard about the program and the idea that you're dealing with people across race and across class and trying to understand one another in that, as we just said, many of you are familiar with Bridges Out of Poverty, with the idea that you look at the hidden rules of society and you realize that when we blame people for not playing by the rules, they don't even know what those rules are. And we very often make judgments based on a very narrow view of what the world is. So I got involved. Our model of circles is a little bit different because we were so anxious to get started that we had two circle leaders with a group of allies. So my particular circle has two circle leaders and three allies. And we've been together now. We're approaching the point at which we decide whether we want to continue with our commitment, because the commitment for an ally, at least when I began, was we ask that if you want to be an ally, you agree to stick with this person and this family for 18 months. And so we've been together about 16 months now. And the best part about it has been the fact that we have become very good friends. We've done all kinds of things together. I'm tutoring the daughter of one of my circle leaders in Spanish, even though my Spanish is, I'm still taking Spanish classes. and that's just, it's a great deal of fun. That level of commitment, what you decide you want to do, that's outside of the basic commitment. The basic commitment is, yes, I'm going to meet with this person once a month. We're going to discuss their program, the program that they came up with. After 15 weeks of that Getting Ahead class, they have made their own goals. They're in charge of their own life, and you get together and say, okay, so where are you on this track? Have you been making the progress you want? And if you haven't been, what can I do to help you? That's the basic commitment. And then outside of that, it all depends. But since we have become quite good friends, we went to the opera together. Each of my circle leaders went with me once last year. We take walks together every once in a while, and we will be doing that again. We haven't been doing much walking lately. And in the course of this time, one of them has managed to get the courage to leave an environment in which she was living, which was not healthy. She got herself into a new apartment that's in a very clean, safe neighborhood. She got a job. The other one just got a brand new job that she started within the last couple of days. She was employed, but feeling underemployed with her bachelor's degree, and yet in poverty. She just started a new job that we feel is way more in keeping with her her standing. We went camping together last summer. That was quite an experience, because most of us had been camping at some point or another, but the one who had been raised in an urban environment, first in New York City and then in Syracuse her whole life, was a little leery of camping. And we spent a weekend together and had a wonderful time. And all of that in addition to the fact that we meet regularly and go over the goals that they have set. And sometimes they backslide, and sometimes they say, well, this is not going as quickly as I thought. But for the most part, we've seen steady advances, and each of them is living in a better environment than they were, and each of them is better employed than they were when we began, and that's within 16 months. It's been wonderful to watch, and they're just wonderful women that I'm very grateful to have in my life. And I will now pass the mic on to Leon Dash, who is, I'm on, in addition to being an LA, I'm on the board for Visions for Change, and so is Leon, our brand new board member and a recent graduate of the Getting Ahead class and a circle leader.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Leon Dash. I'm a housing physician tenant. I'm a disabled veteran, and I'm a recent graduate of Circle. I graduated on Circle. I graduated on January 27th in a very enlightening and educational class, 15 weeks long, called Getting Ahead in a Getting By World. Upon graduating from Circle, I became a Circle leader. I was matched with two allies. The purpose of an ally is to assist in me achieving my goals and endeavors for the near future. Getting Ahead, the Circle program has meant the world to me. It has enabled me to understand the ins and outs of poverty. You know, education is the key to poverty. You know what I'm saying? And power, knowledge is power. And I'm glad to be a part of this change. It's proved education brings about a better job, better living situations, and I'm proud to be part of that also. Because of Circle, the class, I was enabled to put my priorities in its proper perspective. My Circle leader, my allies helped me to make a budget plan. In that budgeting, I have already managed to pay off four major credit cards that Wanda is in possession of, you know what I'm saying, and which has enabled me to put that money into savings, which I have already done, and upon that, I have already, this month, last Wednesday, purchased me an automobile, which is a great accomplishment to me because I'm originally from Rochester, New York, and I haven't been home in 3 years, and I miss my family, you know, so with the help of circles, I have been able to do this, and I'm very proud of myself, you know what I'm saying? But none of this would have taken place without the assistance of my coach, leader, Mrs. Taylor, and the community director of community services, Mrs. Wanda O'Connor. Also, at the present time, I'm also I will be co-facilitator of the upcoming Circle class, which will begin the 26th of this month. I will be assisting Mrs. Taylor in assisting her in this program, in this class. Also, I'm on the board. I'm a volunteer member of the board of Vision for Change, which I'm very proud of. And that's all I have to like to say at this time.
Well, back to me. I warned you it was coming back to me at some point. I think this is an incredibly smart program, the way it's constructed. And it's constructed in a way to, at least at the area where I work at, and I'm chair of the Guiding Coalition, right, which is really a group of people from the community who head organizations or who bring a lot to the table. And I'm talking about people like Linda Wright with the Salvation Army, my friend Paula Friedman, who's here today, Dave Wall, down from OCC, Dave Sutkiewicz. These are people at ACT. These are people who bring so much to the table by way of resource, knowledge, background, and understanding, and who are also able at the right time now to bring those resources to bear on the people who are coming through this program. Obviously, a 15-week course by itself is not enough to affect long-term substantive change without the kind of infrastructure that we're talking about trying to create here. And the infrastructure deals with the allies, with the circles, with the ongoing relationships that are created, and with the dedication of the people who are part of the Guiding Coalition. We have 30 members now. I asked when we started into this, is there any limit to how many people we want to have on the Guiding Coalition? No, they said, but if you get up around 200 or so, let's slow down. So I think I want to say to you all, if this is a program that appeals to you, and I can't imagine, knowing so many of you in this room, that this would not be a program that appeals to you, If this is a program that appeals to you, please contact Rhonda or me and come and be part of it, because we can really use your resources, we can use your time, your talent, and your brains in this. We are designing it in our, frankly, in our own way. This is Syracuse, so as you know, in Syracuse we sometimes come up with variants on how people create things. And we're doing it now in the way that we look at our effort. We've already, by the way, we've started one circle. We've already been contacted by people who want to start two more. We're looking to ultimately be able to blanket the entire city of Syracuse and to address these issues, these long-term issues of entrenched poverty and the cycle of poverty. So with that, Rhonda, do you have any final things you want to say, or we can go to questions?
Well, just one thing I want to add, and why it's important for the Guiding Coalition. Bob's is also being a little humble. I know he's the director of the Southside Innovation Center, and this is just one way of showing you how pooling our resources and coming together as a community really helps, because what he is doing with our participants is inviting them in so that the ones who want to start their own business, the ones who really need that background help and more education, are able to come into the Southside Innovation Center. So he is there with that resource. And it's very important as we're going through this process with our participants that the resources are available for them. It's very important as we're going through the Circles initiative, because there are two different components, and one is working with the allies and the other one is the community change piece. And that's the Guiding Coalition's dual role. And that piece is a big piece, because without changing some of our policies, without looking at some of the barriers, without reaching out and working as a community and as a team, nothing is going to change. As we all know, we've all worked and seen many, many poverty, anti-poverty programs out there. We're really excited about this. We can't do this alone. We need our community behind us. We are reaching out to our churches. We are reaching out to the faith-based initiatives. We're reaching out to anyone who really needs to be on this bus with us to be able to make this happen. So at this time, I'd just like to answer some questions.
Okay. Thank you, Rhonda. We'll start over here.
Good morning. I'm interested in any barriers, some of the classic barriers to people helping themselves out of poverty, such as the disincentives about the more you earn, then the more your public assistance is taken away, or the daycare that's available is on the other side of the city. Any of those things that you've tackled and successfully remediated, or whatever.
That's a great question, because that's one of my pet peeves. That is an area that I have heard some of our participants, as we're working with them, they will say, "Well, I've even actually seen it happen, where one of our participants did get a better paying job, just enough to get them off of the social services, not enough to pay for their child care and ongoing. So what they do, they quit so they could get the services again. So there always is that welfare I call black hole, that Housing Visions and Visions for Change is also taking another step into that. And this is where the coalition again comes together, when we get the coalition is really up and motivated, moving, where we're going to work on that, because I think that is one of the biggest issues that is happening with our participants.
Let me jump in.
Bob's going to
let you know, we all deal with that. At SSIC, the Southside Innovation Center, we also have the same issue. And what we do, and we're going to bring this now to the coalition also, is very extensive benefits planning. What happens to us is, as we start to bring people from poverty, because we have programs that deal with poor, very poor, and people with disabilities, as we start to bring them out of dependency now and taking control of their own economic future, we run into exactly that problem. They're starting to make money. They're starting to lose services. There's an elasticity moment there where they say, wait a minute, this is costing me too much by way of opportunity. We've been successful so far with about 200 people at SSIC, bringing them through this process. So there are ways to do it, but it is complicated, and that's a great question. I'm glad you raised it.
I really have two questions, and one goes to, I would suspect that there's poverty throughout the county, all four corners of the county, yet I seem to hear you say it was a Syracuse-based type program. So is it anywhere in the county, any geographic limits? But the second and probably a more important question in my mind is how do the prospective circle leaders hear about the program and even get identified to know that they should try to go through the 15-week program and everything else?
Great questions. Word of mouth. We actually, the coalition, now that each coalition member takes it back to their agency. We use our residents as individuals, participants that want to be in the program. There is a screening process that they go to because we do not want to set anyone up for failure. We want to make sure that they are ready and they have to be in a certain place before they either. This is a very comprehensive program. So there is a screening process that you have to go through. So if you know anybody that would like to be involved into this as one of the participants, you let us know. So it is something where you just call and we could reach out to the individual or help you talk to the individual that you are that you know would like to do that. As far as right now, we have one program in Onondaga County, and it can reach out to anybody that wants to be in the program. But as Bob was saying, we already have two more interested organizations that would like to start a Circles initiative. So we would like to see the Circles throughout Syracuse, Onondaga County. And even no matter how many Circles there are, there's always one coalition that oversees the whole Circles initiative here in Syracuse. Did that answer your question? Okay.
How do you select the allies and place them? And the impetus of my question is, could a group of people, a family, say, decide to be allies to a circle?
Absolutely. It is a process that we make sure that it's just not taking someone who says, I want to be an ally. Okay, you're going to be with Joe. I do training with the allies so that they are prepared to be an ally. An ally, I love to tell everybody, and this is the way it goes, and I know our allies now feel this because they have expressed it. They never feel alone. They don't feel like they have to know all the answers because they work in a group, and that's what we try to do. It's a group setting. So I look at your background. Allies will fill out a form that tells the background of each individual, what their likes, what their dislikes, they feel like their strengths are. We know the participants, and we will match accordingly. And then we always put it out there that if you feel like this is not the right match, we will switch. And each circle leader will always have at least two, if not more, allies together. So you're never alone. Oh, and here, Doug.
Yeah, I have to say that when you're waiting to be matched, that is a very tense moment. You know, it's very exciting, and you're wondering, and then they give you the name. And I think that it's interesting. When we were matched as a five-person circle, we had some questions about it. Well, how come? How come you put us together? And it was very interesting to talk to the people in the agency. And they knew their two clients so well, and they knew what some of their issues were, and they did do their best to match us up. Admittedly, that could fall. You know, when you get together, it might not work. But for the most part, I haven't seen yet that anyone who was matched decided, oh, I'd rather not be with that person. You know, you get to become a friend with them, and the idea of not feeling alone. I remember speaking with, as a matter of fact, Ken Craig's wife, who was when we left one of those training sessions, and she's going, I don't know what I have to offer, and I'm going, I'm glad you said that because I'm thinking I don't have any specific skills. I don't have Bob's connections, but nonetheless, when you get together with a group, you're not the only one there. You talk with one another. Someone in the group knows someone. And then besides that, there's not just the two or three of you who are allies. There's all the other allies. And then if you have a question, then you don't know how to help this person, you can call Rhonda, and she can call on the Guiding Coalition. Because in that group, there is a whole lot of power and a whole lot of connections. So what you don't know how to do or where to connect this person, someone in that coalition certainly does.
I think that this is a wonderful program, but my question is, are there enough jobs available to enable all of the people who need it to get out of poverty?
Okay. That's another good question. We're always looking, and again, this is what the coalition, that's one of their agenda items, is to look at that and make sure that we have things available as a community for our individuals. And then we have resources such as Bob, and he's going to talk about that.
From, I guess a couple things I want to say. One is that we know that the recovery, a little fragile, is now beginning to actually take in. The statistics, even in Onondaga County, have been getting better for the last couple quarters. So that argues for an expanding economy, an expanding opportunity. Beyond that, though, one of the things that we say a lot at SSIC is, look, if you don't have a job, you can't find a job, how about this? Start a company and hire yourself. Take control of your economic destiny that way. You will create your own market out of your own interest and out of your own passion. And we find that happening over and over again. I mentioned before that we'd had 200 people come through our poverty disability program. Of those folks, now some of them are still in the program, but 70 of them started their own companies. 53 of those companies are currently still in operation and doing things. So I guess I want to respond this way. It's not just about job. It's about opportunity. It's about taking control of your destiny. We're not pumping out thousands of people every month. We're talking about classes of 15 and 20 people as we try to move through. So in that expanding economy and that expansion of the definition of what creates or what constitutes success in taking charge of your economic future, there's jobs, there's entrepreneurship, there's starting your own companies, there's finding your own opportunities. There's a lot to do.
My question is, how many staff people does Visions for Change have, and how are you funded?
That's a great question. We are very lucky to be funded through Housing Visions. So we don't have any federal grants or anything like that. We are Housing Visions gives us the funding for this program. And there are two staff, myself and our Circles coach.
I've got a number of questions, but first, just to follow up on your last response, could you give me an example of a few of the businesses that started themselves? The fact that such a high percentage started their own business is a matter of great curiosity for me.
I'll give you one that's in operation now, downtown, Tacolicious. She started up recently. She came through through our programs. At another time, we'll do the whole. I don't want this.
Yes, we are going to have a program about the Southside Innovation Center. A few years back, we had a program at Southside, but that was before Bob was there. So we're going to go through that whole thing again.
But come talk to me afterwards. So I don't want to take it over there. But I would just tell you that the stuff we do is just incredibly successful, and it works in very much the same way that these Circles programs are working. The reason that we are successful, where I think a lot of other programs aren't, is that we're hands-on. So from the day you walk in our door, we're hands-on with you until we create your entity and get your business loan and get you launched. This is the same thing. We're saying to somebody who doesn't know these rules, right, the rules that we all live by, right, all the things that we know that are innate, that are almost born with us, are things that we now have to try to impart to other folks. They don't live with our rules. So we bring them through this process. We bring them through rules. We bring them through life change stuff. And then we are hands-on with our allies, with our partners, and with our community effort. And that's what makes the difference. It's not just the structure. It's the infrastructure. And that's what counts on this.
When you talk, since you were talking about the rules, I'm just going to insert a question here. It seems to me that would be sensitive sometimes, the rules that you're talking about. I don't know if you were more specific about how, whether it's job behavior, getting dressed, how you approach people, how your speech. So how do you get over those sensitivities that people might say, well, that's the way I am?
That's another excellent question. And that's why I'm saying that this program is intensive. When they go through their 15-week getting ahead class, that is exactly what they learn. They are learning what the hidden rules are of class. They're learning what it's like to be able to work in a business. They're learning just that, the language barriers that they have just taken for granted. This is what I do. This is how I am. This is who I am. And the thing that we always have to remember is we're not asking them to change who they are. We're giving them options. this is what you can do, and this is what needs to be done for you to be able to get to your destiny, get to your goals in your life. And here's how we can help you achieve those, and that is learning the hidden rules. And as I was speaking one day to a gentleman who works in the job field, he was telling me he's just so distraught sometimes as he thinks about and sees the individuals that are trying to get jobs, and they get a job, and they get a job, and it's like this. And he says, what am I doing? What do we do? What's not happening here? And as we're talking with our participants and we're learning more about it, and we're really taking a good look at why, a lot of the why is because they are not here ready to be working in a different class. They're not ready for that. They don't know how to handle the situations that come up. They have lived in the tyranny of moment day by day by day by day. They handle stress differently. They handle conflict differently. They're not ready for that. So this is what I'm saying. When individuals want to come to this program, they have to be ready for the program. They have to want it. They have to want the change. They have to really say, this is what I want to do with my life. I know I've got to do some major thing. And what is so exciting for me, if I can just add this on, is I have seen and heard the participants come into our office jumping up and down with joy because, and I've heard them say, I remembered the hidden rule, and this is what I did, and I took initiative, and I called instead of letting my bills just pile up. I called to let them know that I was going to be late, and if I could do a payment instead of waiting for the bill collector to call. And I just remembered that this is the hidden rule on that, and they were elated. That is such a big step for them. We take something like that for granted. And I hear this coming out of their mouths all the time, the hidden rules, and learning this and how to speak and using formal register instead of casual register when they're talking. They're learning all this in their 15 weeks, and it is exciting to them. And so the ones who really want to take and make a change in their life, it's all new. It's like them learning from scratch. And it's a very difficult thing when you think about leaving something that you have grown up in for a long time and going into a different world. So, I
want to speak to another aspect of that, because let's face it, there are hidden rules to every life. There are hidden rules in poverty as well. And they are not immoral rules. They are the way one gets by. They're the way you know how to behave. And one of the good things about this program is working across class and learning to value the decisions and the reactions that other people make at the same time that you say, okay, if you want a job and you want to be doing this thing with your life, this is how you're going to have to behave. But that's not judging that the way you were behaving is wrong. It's simply that suited the life that you were in. It may not suit the life you want to be in. But you must value the fact that there are ways that we don't know how to operate in that world also. And we have to value one another.
Now I want to get to the question I originally was going to have. I can visualize a one-on-one relationship, but suppose you go into a family and it's got an adult and a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old child. That seems very complicated. The likelihood is that all of them need some kind of help. And how do you deal with such a complex human panorama with a person going into that family?
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, I did step into this family, which happens to have a teenage daughter and an older daughter who's working and is about to have a child. I think that essentially I'm working with my circle leader, and she has issues, and I'm trying to help her follow her plan. Sometimes what's stopping her from following her plan is concerns about her teenage daughter, because we all have concerns if we have teenage daughters. So to the extent that we can at least provide support. If she has an issue with that child and we think that she needs some sort of extra help, we can make referrals, or we can just spend a little time with her and tutor her in Spanish, you know, and maybe that'll help to break down some barriers. You're not required to solve everyone's problems, but the problems that those other family members have, really what our concern is, how is that impacting the circle leader's ability to follow their plan? And is there anything we can do to help? And if we can't, can we call on someone else in the coalition or in the larger group of allies to help.
Thank you. There was a question here.
You say you have a 15-week intensive course. Can you give us an idea of how many hours a day that they attend classes, and also what are the main areas of the curriculum that you cover within those 15 weeks?
Mm-hmm. They meet 2 hours a week, so they're working on different modules every time that they meet. Some of them, the modules are on the hidden rules. Some modules are on... what is it? Oh, yeah. Why don't you have Leon tell what they are?
You're on, Leon.
Yeah. There you go, Leon.
There are different different parts of the curriculum. Teach you how to spiritual aspects of it. You know, budgeting. You know, educational. You know, like they say, bridging, word of mouth. You know, these are the things that we are participate in the 15 weeks, you know, learning one another, you know, every day, we meet 2 hours a week, 2 hours a day, a week, 15 weeks. The first thing we do is to something called appreciation. You know, what appreciation is, we go around in a circle. I'm blessed because I was the only man out of 15 women. So you know I had a good time. But appreciation is we go around in a circle and say something that has come into your life that you appreciate, you know, something new and something old, you know, and things of this nature.
I wanted to just add one thing. You know, you're hearing a lot about our program in Syracuse. We've talked about this as one of the things across the country. But Ken is also on the board for Move the Mountain. So he's one of the national folks. He's one of the 10 people who are really doing the, you know, all the planning and all the planning nationwide. So Syracuse is not only a program. We're also one of the flagship programs for this effort across the country. So I just wanted to make that note as we talk what we're doing and as you're hearing us explore a little bit about how we're doing our shaping here and giving you some sense of our experience with it.
Thank you.
I've worked in poverty for about 50 years. I've been part of poverty, too. But one of the unique things about this turns the whole world upside down. Because the circle leaders, the individuals that, quote, we are going to help, are really the leaders. And that's extremely important. The question, you had a number of questions that were being asked. One, you know, what are you doing throughout all of Onondaga County? Ed asked that question. Well, you're working with, we'll say, 15 people or 30 people, and that's it right now. You're not working with the 30,000 people that are in poverty. Funding. Where's your funding? Your funding, we're so used to having federal and state funding. Your funding, when I went to college at Manhattan College, it was called the Brothers Endowment. And I didn't understand what that was. But what it meant was they were giving their lives to help, to teach us all. They weren't giving any money. We have a community endowment. And that's the resources throughout the entire community. It's not cash. It's people with ideas. Do I have a question? I do have a thank you.
John's on our board, and you're hearing a little bit of the kind of sense and sensibility he brings to these discussions, which is enormous. We're all so grateful to have him as part of our group.
Thank you, John. All right, question. All right, now, because we do like to stick to our format of questions. I have a question. Leon mentioned something about just purchasing a car, and we all applauded him. But then I was thinking, because I have an old car in my driveway, oh, poor Leon, now he has to deal with all the, you know, buying gas and keeping up a car. Last week we had Frank Kobliski from Centro here talking about their new common center, but also about a lot of the cuts that they're having to make in bus routes. I was wondering if Centro was among your coalition members, and, you know, because transportation is a big issue for people getting to and from work, to and from daycare, to and from doctor's appointments, wherever, and then in between owning a personal vehicle and taking public transportation or taxi cabs, which can be expensive, there are like different options in between. So I'm wondering how or if you're addressing the transportation issue and if you're coming up with any potentially innovative solutions in that area, since you have people concentrated in different neighborhoods.
Well, we do not have anybody from Central on the coalition yet. We would like to, so that's the one thing. But transportation is always an issue. One of the things that we have that is a big component of the Circle's initiative is also reciprocity. Really big in order to them to learn to give back to our participants, to learn to give back. So one of the things that we do with the coalition is going to be setting up is reciprocity points. So for transportation, at least to and from the program itself, if someone goes and picks someone up that has a vehicle, you know, if someone with a vehicle goes and picks it up, they get a couple of points. They're able to get a TV. They're able to get a computer. They're able to get when they earn so many points. We make sure that they're there. So we are we also make sure the staff is available to pick individuals up that cannot come. We are going to be talking to the coalition maybe on working with Centro to get some sort of passes for them to be able to take the bus if they need to. So that is an issue, and it's going to be an issue that the coalition is going to be working on. So, come aboard the coalition and help us solve some of these issues that we're going to be.
I have a question. I've actually had an opportunity to hire someone from the Circles program recently, and I went through the Bridges Out of Poverty training years ago through the Housing Authority. And so I knew a little bit about the program. There was a presentation at my church. I came to this relationship with some background. Do you have a mechanism for educating employers so when someone starts working with them, the employer has an opportunity to kind of understand what they're trying to achieve and maybe some ways that they can meet the person in the middle?
Question.
Oh, wow.
That's a great question.
So, remember when I made the invitation earlier to come and be part of the coalition? Come aboard, be part of our happy few. Listen, we are creating our strategic plan now. And John pointed out a few things that are really important. Because of how we're funded, we're not limited in terms of what we do or how we do it. And because our chief is on the board of the National, we're able to create the variant in our community that will work the best. The question you raised is just a great question. The answer is no, we're not doing it now, but we should be, and we need to be. It's something that I think we've all come into contact with one way or the other. University of Albany has a great program where they're looking at volunteerism, and they're saying, you know, it's great to train volunteers and get them into not-for-profit corporations, but, you know, the problem of trying to manage somebody who only shows up every other Tuesday for 3 hours in the afternoon and isn't always there, we need to also be training the managers and the workers. And so your question is going directly to that kind of ethos and that kind of ethic. Yeah, we need to do that sort of outreach. Come and be part of our process and help us figure out how to do those programs in the best way. Mm-hmm. That'd be terrific. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. Well, I'm sure that our panelists will hang around for a bit if anybody else is interested in talking about opportunities. And I want to remind you that the program is on WCNY-FM at 8 o'clock p.m., 8 p.m. on Sunday, and then in a week or two is podcast. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. This is great.